Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I picked the Dodgers against the Twins to make the World Series. Obviously, the Twinkies bowed out unceremoniously.
Early.
Yes. But I'm hoping the Dodgers. And, Rob, I got to be honest. I do think this is the year I feel like it's destined. They've been the best team in baseball, or at least one of the top two for a while, you know, what, the last 7-8 years. And I just feel like now they're going to get it done. I told you, there have been 63 teams, many of them the Yankees overlapping years. They used to go so often back in the day. But 63 teams that have made the World Series three times in 4 years. That's a high number, actually. I was shocked that it was that high. But again, it's probably a ton of Yankees. Rob, only two of those 63 have never won it in one of those trips. So history's on their side. Look, with all due respect to the Rays, who've had a great year.
And they are
exciting.
This
postseason.
Is no fluke.
Yes. Yes.
People who think like, oh, how are the Rays there and who's on that team or whatever you want to say about them. And I know they have bad fan support down in Tampa. It's a bad stadium,
yeah,
Chris, indoors.
It really is.
It's just people in Florida. Do you want to go into a drab indoor place to watch baseball? I just don't think so. And
it's
I know
tough.
The weather's hot there.
Yeah, it's tough.
And I know the humidity in the summer. But anyway, all I'm here to say is that they're a good team. That's all.
No, and the young kid out of nowhere, Randy Arozarena.
He's unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I hope he's a future star. I mean, you hope this isn't kind of some fly-by-night, you know, just had a great postseason run. I think he's for real. You never know. But I think he's for real. And what a run for him. But it's going to be a good one. But with all due respect, Rob, to the Rays, let's keep it real. The Dodgers, at least on paper, they're the better team.
No, they have the best team.
There's
no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah. Right. They got what? How many MVP candidates? Three? Seager, Bellinger, and Betts, right? Year by year, they're going to be MVP candidates.
And they added Betts this year, remember, signed him to a contract for a gazillion dollars. So they have everything they need. They got pitching. Remember, David Price was supposed to be on this team. He opted out because of the COVID,
right,
Chris.
Right.
So they're loaded on paper. The only thing working against them is their history, which is not very good, which is horrid when you talk about the postseason. And when you think about that this team has now been to the World Series 3 out of 4 years, had won the West 8 straight years, the NL West. And this is even worse, Chris, that an organization like the Dodgers with all the resources, what a great fan base, all the other stuff going for it, they haven't won a World Series since 1988, which is mind-boggling. But that's where we are since 1988.
I'll say this, though. As far as, you know, you mentioned the resources, the money, so on, its fan base, all that. They've been for basically the last decade, Rob, right there. And then even, you know, early 2000s, I mean, you know, what they make the playoffs 4 or 5 times in that decade. You know, so they've been good. I get what you're saying since 1988. But in baseball, man, it's strange. You know what I'm saying? Look at the Yankees. They've been a really good team since 2009, right? But haven't yet won a World Series. So I think when you talk about the resources, the money, the fan base, they've done what they can. It's just a matter of your players getting it done on the field, you getting some of the lucky breaks, not slumping at the wrong time. And let's keep it real, Rob. Clayton Kershaw, we all know, but he hasn't delivered. Who would have thought that the best pitcher of the generation, some people, Rob, say this is the best pitcher regular season of the last 50, 60 years.
Well, let's say
And there's a case to be made, regular season.
I want to give you his numbers. Two numbers you need to know. His ERA of 2.44 regular season is the best ERA in the live ball era, Chris, in baseball.
That's crazy.
He has the best whip of any pitcher as well in the live ball era, who has pitched over 1,000. We're talking about starters.
Right.
Who have pitched over 1,000 innings. So nobody has been better with ERA and whip than Clayton Kershaw, right, since the live ball era. So that tells you about how good he is and how special he is. But his ERA jumps up almost two full runs come postseason time, come the big stage, come the bright lights. So that's why, to me, and I did write this column today for a Deadspin, this is it, Chris. He's either finally a champion or he's going to cement himself as a choker. And people will not be able to look at him and think of him in that vein like the greatest pitcher of our generation, because as great as doing things are during the regular season, you know this. And I say it all the time, we joke about it, about sports having a short menu, and it is about wins and losses at the most opportune clutch time. That's what people remember. They do remember that. Whether that's fair or not, Chris, is what people
I'm gonna
do remember.
Name you. I'm gonna give you a name, and I don't know that he's quite the Clayton Kershaw of his sport, because he's certainly not the best player of the generation. But James Harden, right? We all know he's great. We all know he's going to the Hall of Fame right away, as soon as he's done playing, you know, as soon as he's eligible. But, you know, with the fact that he hadn't gotten it done in the postseason as far as getting to a finals, winning it, is there's a limit, right? There's a ceiling on how high he can go until he wins championships. And same with Kershaw, you're right. I mean, anytime you want to say he's the best player of his generation, at least at this point, there's that yeah, but. There's that but in the playoffs. He was, you know, there's always going to be that. And I'll tell you right, look, 11-12 is what he is in the playoffs. Here's the thing, though. He can. It seems crazy because he's so deep into his career, and obviously he's got a big sample size. This isn't just 3 years in the postseason.
And tonight,
this is the full season, right? A full season, regular season of playoff games he's played. And I think, Rob, he actually could erase all of that if he comes out and has a stellar series and the Dodgers win it.
I don't disagree from the standpoint. People do remember, and it's the great redemption story. People love a redemption story, and this is set up for him. He wasn't supposed to pitch game one, but because of the way that the cards fell, Chris, Buehler's their ace now, right? Kershaw's dropped down. He's 2 or 3. And Buehler should have been starting game one. And instead, here's Kershaw on the mound with a chance to do something to put the Dodgers. They win tonight. He pitches 7 strong innings or something like that, and they win. Your mindset changes. Then you know he's got one more. He could be on the mound for the clincher, right? He could be.
Right.
And then you would think totally different. So he has a chance at redemption, and I think most people, Chris, normally would be rooting for the Rays, the underdog, the big bad Dodgers, right?
Right, right.
I think most people are rooting for the Dodgers and this redemption story, especially with Clayton Kershaw.
You know what? I would agree. I would agree. I do think outside of Florida or even Tampa, most people are pulling for the Dodgers. Look, if you're of any, you know, relative age, the Dodgers, if you're young, you've watched them get to the World Series or win their division for the last 7, 8 years. If you're older, you remember when the Dodgers were, you know, one of the great teams in the league and getting to the World Series and winning them. So I agree that people would love to see them get over the hump. I would love to see them get over the hump. I would love to see Clayton Kershaw getting over the hump. Everybody knows he's a great guy. He does a ton of stuff off the field. Not that that should necessarily weigh in.
No, but
people
but
like
he's not
the
a,
guy. He's a
he's
good
not
guy.
A guy. He's not a guy that you can hate. Like, there's right. nothing about him. He just hasn't pitched well in the postseason. But there's no reason to hate Clayton Kershaw.
Absolutely.
No, just zero.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I mean, the Cowboys, it is bad down in Texas.
Just when you think they can't get any worse. You remember what I was telling you? All the sharps bet on Dallas. You remember we had Lamar on.
Yeah.
They thought that because they would run the ball with Ezekiel, Chris, that was the whole thing. What did
and
Tony
Zeke,
Dungy
of course,
say?
Fumbled it twice
in eight
on
sna-
the
in
first
eight,
two,
eight touches.
On two back-to-back possessions. Yes,
right. But he had
back-to-back
eight touches.
Carries. Yep. You're right. Tony Dungy said they're gonna start running it now. It could
and
be a blessing in disguise.
Yes.
Yep. Now they're bad, man. I tweeted yesterday, Rob, that this defense, and I can't go through every single defense all the years I've been watching football, but I tweeted this. I think this is the worst NFL defense I have ever seen in my life.
Are you sure?
I mean, like I said, am I going through every single year, 1981, who was the worst defense, all that?
All
Not
I'm
off the
say,
top of my head, of
right.
course. But here's a little, and I didn't know this, Rob, last night when I tweeted. It tweeted during the game. But here's a little something to back me up, all right? They're in the running, because here we go. The Cowboys have given up 137 first half points this season. That's the most ever, that's the most in the league through six games. Here's the other thing. In the first six games of the season, Dallas has given up 218 points. That's the fourth most, Rob, in NFL history. So I'm not that far off.
Are the top three Lions teams that I covered in the 90s? I'm just asking.
No, I know. People were tweeting at me, the Lions, the Falcons,
right.
some, you know, like, so,
right.
like I said, there's obviously been some bad defenses. But, man, Rob, teams are running roughshod over them. I mean, it's a freaking party against the Cowboys defense.
It's embarrassing. And remember, this team was picked by many.
Our friend Nick Wright,
ESPN
from First Things
picked
First
them.
Picked them.
To go to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yep, to go to the Super Bowl. And they're not even close to that. This team, and the other thing too, Chris, the defense is terrible. And I'm not making any excuses. Turnovers are bad. When you give up the football, you put the defense in a bad spot.
Right.
Ezekiel with the two fumbles, those were turned into, I think the first three turnovers, right, were turned in for
points.
21 points by
well,
Seattle.
Well, that's where the game got away from them.
Right.
And you're right in that. I mean, look, the defense is still horrible.
It is.
But last night wasn't as bad as some of those earlier games in the season. Because, like you said, the offense just put them in a horrible position.
When you fumble on your own 30-yard line.
Arizona the first three possessions, which I was shocked by. But, yeah, and then, like you said, they gave them the ball in their own, you know, in their own territory. And it was a wrap. But they're bad, man. And here's the thing. Jane Slater from the NFL Network, who's been on the show, she tweeted this today, Rob, that one Cowboys player told her this, that the coaches are totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. That's a direct quote. Here's another player saying this. They just aren't about the coaches.
Right.
They just aren't good at their jobs.
Wow.
I mean, that is bad. Now, look, obviously the coaching staff has been horrible. Mike Nolan, I mean, he's the defensive coordinator. This is the defense. I know they lost a few guys, but this is the defense that was ranked 10th last year. So for them to fall off the map and be historically bad, yeah, I got to put a lot of that on the coaches. Okay, and you hate to see quotes like this in the newspaper or, you know, whatever,
but
on Twitter.
But you know what? When things get this bad, Chris, this is when guys are willing to talk. You know that. You covered the Nets like I did. There's nothing but good stories on a bad team. Am I right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
When teams are winning, it's harder to cover because there's nothing to write about. Everything's going right. Quarterback's playing well, right? It's harder to write.
No
when
doubt.
When things go bad, finger pointing, look at that guy. Hey, I'll tell you this off the record. You could quote me off the record. Am I right?
And I think this, Robin, a lot of people might look at this as all the players need to shut up. Obviously, they're not playing well, which is true. They're not playing well. Some of it's on them. But I bet you, Rob, and you know this from covering these sports, these players want this out there, obviously, and they hope it makes a difference, right? Like, they're putting this out there for a reason, that they want the coaching staff to step it up, or, I mean, I can't imagine Jerry Jones firing somebody right now. Not the head coach, maybe Mike Nolan. But
no,
they
it would
want
be
something
Nolan,
to
right.
be done.
It would be Nolan. It would not be Mike McCarthy. I would be stunned by that.
Oh, yeah. No. And let's get into McCarthy because, again, yes, he's doing poorly. But, Rob, I'm going to say this. If we have to do a blame pie, and I don't want to go into all the percentages and all that, but I'll say this. The lion's share, the bulk, most of the blame for the Cowboys' horrible predicament does not lie at the feet of Mike McCarthy, who's not blameless, but it lies at the feet of the man who hired him, the man who creates this culture, Jerry Jones. Period. The end. And Rob, I was thinking about this earlier today, Rob. I was like, you know what? It's time to stop talking about the freaking Dallas Cowboys.
Good luck with that. I know,
but don't we treat them like they're a freaking dynasty?
They've won four playoff games in 25 years, Chris.
Oh, my gosh.
Four playoff games in 25 years, and they still get all the attention. And Jerry Jones, nobody challenges the guy. We don't agree on a lot of stuff when we talk about the NFL. I think that's where me and you argue the most is about the NFL.
You're right.
But on this, I agree with you. I think Mike McCarthy, yes, he is to blame, Chris. It's easy to blame him. And he's partly to blame. But this mess that is the Dallas Cowboys belongs to Jerry Jones 100%. And I'll even tell you this. When you hire a Mike McCarthy, let him pick his own staff, Chris.
Thank you.
Let him pick. This guy won a Super Bowl, Jerry. And if you're saying that this is the guy who's going to get you over the hump, give him a chance. Let him pick his own staff. He called the plays in Green Bay. I don't care how long ago it was. You remember when they won the Super Bowl over Pittsburgh? Mike McCarthy was calling those plays. Yes. Mike McCarthy called those plays. So when you go and say, well, you could have the job, but you got to keep our offensive coordinator because we like him. No.
Look, Kellen, I agree with you. And Kellen Moore, he's not bad. You know, last year, obviously, Dak went to another level as far as stats production. This year, stats were looking good until he got hurt. But he's in his second year. And like you said, you neutered a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yep.
What is McCarthy doing? What's he doing?
But it tells you that
he ain't handling the defense.
It tells you that he was desperate. It tells you also, Chris, that maybe there just wasn't enough interest out there for him. And you make concessions. If this was 3 years after he won the Super Bowl in Green Bay, I guarantee you he wouldn't have accepted a job. You remember that happened in Cleveland. Remember they wanted them to keep Freddie Kitchens as the offensive coordinator, and they got turned down by every head coach who said they wouldn't take Freddie Kitchens on as their offensive coordinator, and that's why they gave the job to Freddie Kitchens. Because most coaches won't accept that.
Nah, you're right. And look, Jerry wanted a puppet. Let's just keep it real. He wanted to have his hands in everything, just like he always has. And he wanted his guy, Kellen Moore, and now look at him. They are a mess. And the fact is this, Rob, you mentioned the what, four playoff appearances in 25 years?
Four wins in 25 years.
All right. When they won the two Super Bowls under Jimmy Johnson, that was Jimmy Johnson, right? And Jerry didn't like it because they weren't winning his way. He wasn't getting enough credit.
Even
it was
the
too
third
much
one
Jimmy. The
was,
third, right. He brings
Jimmy
in Barry
well.
Switzer, and it was Jimmy's guys.
It was Jimmy's guys, right.
And so this is the problem with Jerry Jones. He wants to win his way. Winning's not enough. Winning a Super Bowl's not enough. He wants to win his way. And that's the problem. And Rob, I'm sorry. What Jerry Jones has got to realize is that if you win, if you don't do anything but sit in that box and watch the game, you don't do your interviews, you don't do your radio show, you don't do your little informal press conference after every game in the tunnel, you don't talk with the coaching staff about strategy. If you don't do a darn thing but sit in that box and twiddle your thumbs during games, guess what? If they win the Super Bowl, he would get credit. He would get credit. I'm not saying he would get the most credit, but he would get credit. It would be under his watch, but he can't handle that. What's he got to? He has to be the superstar?
Yep. He's got to be out front. And ever since Jimmy Johnson left, Chris, it has been slim pickings. And that third one, you could talk about Barry Switzer, and now they won one. Jerry knows he needs to win another one, even though he's already in the Super Bowl, Chris. Because he doesn't have the respect about his football knowledge and putting the team together. He doesn't have it. He knows it. Everybody knows it. Yep.
Absolutely. And look, I'll give them this. They drafted well. Steven Jones, whoever it is, they've drafted well. But that just makes it worse. Because you got some talent and you still are a joke.
They got a guy there in their front office who I know, Will McClay, Chris, who's one of their guys in drafting. And you're right. The Cowboys have drafted well. That's the one thing you can say.
But it kind of makes it worse. You know what I'm saying? Because it ain't talent. It's your culture.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Rob, let's stick with baseball, but go to Houston. And the former GM of the Astros, Jeff Luhnow, is running his mouth. Of course, he was fired along with the manager, A.J. Hinch, and Luhnow spoke with, one of the TV stations down in Houston for an interview. And here's what he said. Obviously, it was a 37-minute interview, so he said a ton, but here's a portion of it.
I didn't know we were cheating. Major League Baseball's report stated that I didn't know anything about the trash can banging scheme. There was really no credible evidence of that. I didn't know about either of them. And it felt like that I was getting punished for something that I didn't do. After the investigation was over and I was fired, I got access to about 22,000 text messages that were from personnel in the video room. They were communicating back and forth about the rule violations. They also were using text messages to cheat on the job. There's a few text messages where they say, don't tell Jeff. So it's pretty clear that I wasn't involved.
All right, here's what I want to throw out to you, Rob. You know, in today's culture, some people may look at Jeff Luhnow as snitching. You know, he's not throwing out names, at least that we heard. I haven't heard that. But he's just saying, look, I wasn't involved. It was them. And some of the people that were involved are still working in the Astros organization. I got fired, but I was totally innocent. Here's how I look at it. I don't look at it as snitching and a negative. I'm putting myself in that position. And if my reputation was besmirched, my reputation was sullied, and people thought I was a cheater, and I got fired. He may get another job later somewhere. But, you know, I got fired, and I know I was totally innocent. I know the evidence backs me up. I'm sorry. I'm coming out and saying it. Now, again, you don't have to throw other people under the bus and say, oh, it was so-and-so. It was so-and-so. But I don't have any problem with him just clearing his name, saying, look, I didn't do it. All right? I didn't know anything about it. I'm not a cheater. And I was innocent.
I could not disagree with you more on this for Lunau from this standpoint, Chris. It happened under your watch. Shame on you that this was going on and people were banging garbage cans and there was a TV set up and you're the general manager and you were totally oblivious to it. That's the problem I have. I get it. If you were cleared by Major League Baseball or they said that you really didn't know what was going on, but your job is to know. Yes. That doesn't help him. If I'm going to look to hire a general manager and he's telling me I didn't know what was going on, they had the biggest cheating scandal and your head was in the ground and you didn't see anything, you know what? I don't want you here. I wouldn't hire a guy. You mean to tell me that something was going down and you were clueless? That's an excuse? Hey, hire me. I was clueless. I didn't know what was going on. No, that was them. I was at the ballpark for 12 hours a day. I didn't hear those garbage cans being banged. I didn't understand why we had a higher batting average at home. I didn't understand. What?
Well, look,
you made yourself look worse, Chris. Keep your mouth quiet. Take your lumps. You were a part of a team that got busted cheating. Your name is attached.
These are two separate things. I have no problem with him saying, explaining the story. Now, he didn't, you know, from what I saw the interview, I saw some of the video. He wasn't ranting and raving. He wasn't, you know, doing any of that. He just was answering her questions and clearing his name and you know, doubling down on it. I got no problem with that. Now, what you brought up is another issue in my mind, but you make a good point. What it points to is, okay, you're not a cheater. You're an honest man, you know, we believe. But the fact that nobody in that organization.
Thank you, Chris.
Nobody respected you enough. Because he said it in an interview. I'm going down there on a regular basis telling them, we're not
nobody
doing this, right?
Pulled them aside,
we're not doing
Chris.
That, right?
Nobody. Yet,
right. And that shows me, that's more, this is a stronger word than I want to use, but for lack of a better word, incompetence versus dishonesty. Okay, you're an honest guy. But like you said, Rob, nobody pulled your coat. Hey, they're cheating.
Right. All right. You hear those garbage cans?
We hear you saying don't cheat, but dudes are cheating. That, and beyond somebody not telling him, there also is this, Rob. Yeah, we both been in baseball clubhouses. And like you said, you're there all day as a reporter. You know you're there all day as an executive. You weren't around. I get it. You're not. You may be up in the box or somewhere else during the game, but it. I mean, you didn't have a whiff. You didn't like hear anything, see anything suspicious. That does point to incompetence. Maybe not doing your job well. Now, I'll have to say this, Rob. I don't know what his draft record was like. But obviously, under his watch, they had a very good team. So if yes, he
but,
was
but,
drafting,
but they were bad.
If he
they
was
bad
huge
for,
in that,
no,
then
yeah,
I have
but
to
they
give
were
him
bad
credit.
For 3 years, and they got picks. I'm not going to do all that. I'm not going to bury the guy. But Chris, to go around to say I was clueless is not the way you're going to clear your name or get people who want to hire you. That's all I'm saying. Do you agree with that? That basically saying I was clueless.
I would honestly, I would have to see. Really looked more at his draft. If he was like the main guy responsible for putting that team together, which is a great team, then, and I'm looking at him, okay, he's an honest guy. Okay. He didn't have the relationships. Nobody, you know, went to him and told him what was going on. He didn't pick up any clues or anything. Okay, that's a knock. But if he built that team, if he was more than a figurehead and he really built that team and he's honest, he had nothing to do with the cheating scandal, I'm not letting that hold me back from hiring.
Yeah, I think sometimes, Chris, you can make that case without going public, like in conversations. And if anybody does their due diligence, like if a job were to come open or he was to make an inquiry, just say, can you read the report? I'm not going to go public and go and rehash all this and open up all these wounds. But I was technically cleared in it. You could read it for yourself.
Well, I'm sure
by saying that publicly, you're basically saying it was them, not me. And I just think that that's going to rub some people the wrong way.
I think he's doing this not for the other teams that may, you know, look at him for a future job. Because as you obviously, the other teams know. You know, they read the report. And if they don't know, if they were interested
know, right.
in him, yeah, they would do their due diligence and do the background check. I think, Rob, though, this is for the public. This is for the public that just, you know, didn't read the full report, but just heard, you know, they know what went down. They saw he was fired. You know, they probably assumed he had something to do with it. This is also, Rob, for your friends, for your family.
So he can hold his head up high in church, you know what I mean?
I mean, all that, yeah. If he's that type of guy, you know, yeah, this is for the people you know. So you can say, and I get it. I mean, your reputation's important. It's not always, you know, the time to go out there and say something publicly about it. But I don't blame the guy. You know, he did, like I said, he wasn't throwing guys under the bus and naming names and all that, at least that I saw.